So today we begin a two-part series. I don't even know if it should be called a series, a two-part series called Fresh. And I'm going to be speaking on fresh word. Fresh word. You know, the word fresh means something new, something different, something that hasn't been done before, not previously known. Fresh word. I once dreamt a plastic bag full of white loaves of bread, fresh, thrown at the front of our door. And I felt God say to me that that's a sign of provision. But not just provision, provision and abundance. That is the will of God for our lives as His children. Provision and abundance. The struggle we have is not so much believing that God wants to provide and that He wants to provide abundantly. Our struggle is that we don't believe that He wants that for us individually. We have our own limitations. We think He can do it for the next person, but not for us. And I just pray this morning that as I share this word, may you make that connection that it's not just for your neighbor, it's not just for the next person, but that is a word for you as well. I'm reading from Acts 3, verse 1 to 16. And this is a story about Peter and John. They're going to church pretty much. There was a 3 p.m. prayer meeting that they were attending. And there was a lame man there. And they had this encounter. So this is a story of that encounter between Peter and John, specifically Peter, and this lame man. And it goes, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer, at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful. I want you to imagine yourself being carried to church. He was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. I want you to imagine that you're being carried to church. And then at the door, as people come into the service, you're asking them for money. Look around you. I mean, literally look around you. I want you to imagine that, Andrew, you're asking Pastor Charlie for some money. Edwin, you're asking Stuart for some money as people go through. Because this is a true story. This happened. So it's always useful to put ourselves in those positions. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, so he spotted two members. As he saw them, so maybe Janine and Donovan, as he spotted people, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." They are looking at him, but they also want him to look. Peter wants him to look at them. He wants to make a connection. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. He's asked for money. He's expecting to get money. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." This is one of my favorite scriptures. You know, I had not remembered this, but as I was preparing this message, I was reminded of myself in primary school. I must have been 7 years old, and back then we would have assembly. I don't know how it works in this. Yeah, I think it's the same, but we had assembly, and at assembly, we would sing these Christian songs. And one of the songs we used to sing, I just remember the chorus, and it was in my language, and it said, "Selefira lechauta." Silver and gold. Hakina selefira lechauta. I do not have silver or gold, but what I do have, the song would say that. I don't have those things, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus. That's what we would sing at assembly at 7 years old. Rise up and walk. I don't think back then I understood. I just knew that it had a really nice tune. But as I was preparing this, that came back to me. And I think it's because God really just wanted to highlight how powerful words are. From even when we are young, the things that we instill. We've just been hearing Raquel talk about Kids Zone. And we heard Joyful share about her experience and working there. The things that we instill from such a young age. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have." It goes on. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising. I just want you to picture that. The same man who was brought into church is now walking, jumping, and praising. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Wonder and amazement. While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed, and you disowned him before Pilate, though he had decided to let him go. You disowned the holy and righteous one and asked that a murderer be released to you. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has completely healed him, as you can all see." You know, I want to talk about the daily grind. The daily grind is that those responsibilities that we have daily, typical things we do. Wake up in the morning, get ready for work, go on the train, get to work, do your job, get back on the train, go home, organize dinner, repeat the next day. For some people, like myself, is get up, get the kids organized, get yourself organized, get in the car, drop the kids, go to work, repeat. For this man, there was a daily grind. He had to think strategically. That's what I think anyway. He had to plan. I'm sure he had goals. It says that he couldn't walk. It didn't say his brain wasn't functioning. So he did all other things that everybody does when they're trying to hustle. Because that's what he was doing. He was hustling. Why else would he go and beg? I don't know if any of you have ever been in a position where you've had to beg for anything. You may not have gone as far as begging, but you've probably come to a place where you had to ask for something because you didn't have. Who knows how humiliating that can be? Embarrassing, depressing, frustrating. That's not even having to beg. It's having to rely on other people for what you need. It's when you have no options. This man had no options. He had to ask people to take him. I just imagined the conversation in the morning. I don't know if he had a family, but if he was having a conversation and someone said, "So what are your plans for the day?" "Oh, I'm just going to go to church and beg for some money." Because I'm sure he had bills to pay. He needed to eat. There are things that had to be done. If he had children, I'm not sure if he had children, mouth to feed. Not very different from our experiences. We all have needs. So he had his daily grind. He had his daily grind. I wonder if he had to think, ask the people to place him in a specific spot at the front of the church or the temple to make sure, you know, in church, you kind of know who's who. So I wonder if he thought, those ones, I think they've got a bit more money. So can you make sure that you place me near the entrance that they use? This is just me wondering. But he would have had to think strategically. That was his daily grind. But on this day, when he had this encounter with John and Peter, he got a fresh word. You see, up to that point, I'm imagining that the words that he had received were a bit like this when he asked for money. I'll pray for you. Or maybe he got pity. Or maybe some patronized him. They looked down on him. Or maybe others dismissed him. And others looked at him with disgust. But today, the word was different. The word was not the usual. The word that he would hear is found in verse 6, which says, "Then Peter said, 'Silver or gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you.'" Those are powerful words. And here's the powerful thing about this scripture. Peter could have just stopped there. But the way that he phrased the next statement is very powerful. He could have just said, "What I do have I give you." And the man would have thought, okay, he doesn't have silver or gold, but maybe he's got something else. Maybe he's got food to give me. But he goes on to say, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And so I believe that there's a fresh word here for this man, for the lame man. And there's a fresh word for you in the room. The fresh word for the lame man was this: forget what you think you need. The man was poor. You have to be poor to beg. So when you're poor, you need money. You need something that's going to sustain you. So he knew that was his need. But the fresh word was this: forget what you think you need. Because God cares about you being whole. He cares about the whole of you. He has a holistic view of you, not just about your limitations. You see, for this man, not being able to walk was a limitation, and not having money was a limitation. That probably came because he couldn't walk, he couldn't do things for himself. But I wonder for you today, what are your limitations? You may not be lame. You may not even know anyone who is lame. But being lame is about limitations. Being lame is about being dependent on other people, not being able to resource, provide for yourself. That's what being lame is about. But it says God cares about the whole of you. You know, I imagine that this man would probably have had debt collectors after him. We don't know. A threat maybe from Horizon Power to cut off the lights. But here's something I thought of while I was sitting there when we're doing the giving talk. This man would not have had an opportunity to give. Do you know what it's like when you want to give but you can't? When you want to buy a gift for someone but you can't? You want to pay for lunch for someone but you can't? This man was at the mercy of other people. He had no opportunity to give into the offering himself. So he didn't have even that. It's such a privilege to be able to give. When we listen to the messages about giving, we hear about the blessings attached to that, right? We hear about what God can do as you give. This man had no opportunity to experience that. It was only something he heard. So even though he was at the temple where the blessings are expected to be, because there's people there praying, everything is about God, he missed out on that by virtue of his situation. And so that's the first thing about the fresh word. It's that for the lame man is forget about what you think you need, because God cares about the whole of you. The second thing was about the blessing in the no. The blessing in the no. You know, for a lot of people, saying no is very uncomfortable. We don't like to say no to people, right? Does anyone here enjoy saying no to people? Like, you just love it. It's a very uncomfortable thing, unless you're somebody who just doesn't care. But what you see in this passage, by Peter saying, silver or gold, I do not have, he was answering the man's question of, can I have some money, with a no. No, you cannot. That was a no. But there's a blessing in that no. And that blessing was that this man ended up walking. This man ended up jumping. This man ended up praising God. He was walking, he was jumping, he was praising. That's levels of blessing. It's one thing to walk. It's another to jump. It's yet another to praise God. And we don't even hear what happened afterwards. But what we do know from many other stories in the Bible is that after people encounter God, their lives are never the same. You are a witness of that. You have had that experience. You had an encounter with God, and here you are. For most of us, we would say, ever since we've had that encounter, our lives have never been the same. So what I'm saying is levels. He walked, he jumped, he praised, and then there was more. Every single one of us in this room, there's a more. For us, we had an encounter. It changed our position from being lame or being incapacitated to being able to walk differently. And from that, we were able to jump, which is the next level. And then after that, we're able to praise. But there is more. And I think for a lot of us, we tend to stop at the praising. And we never come to experience that there is more beyond the praising. Matthew 14, 15 to 17, we hear the story of Jesus and his disciples and their people who are hungry. They've been listening to Jesus teaching. It gets late, it gets dark. The people are hungry. And the disciples say to them, look, you have to go. We have no food for you. They send them away. And then they go and tell Jesus, their leader, the issue. We've got a problem. We've got all these hungry people. And Jesus says this. You give them something to eat. And the disciples say, well, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fish. Highlight the word only. We only. They didn't say we have 5 fish and 2 loaves. We only. That speaks to their thinking. And that speaks to most of us, our thinking. Whenever a situation presents itself and there's a need that needs to be fulfilled, if we think we can't fulfill the need, what we see is what we only have. I'm only a backup singer. I'm only a high school graduate. You can fill in the blanks for you. What is your only? There are limitations that we place on ourselves that limit the influence that we can have in other people's lives. Then I want to talk about the fresh word for you in the room. We talked about the fresh word for the lame man. We talked about the blessing in the no. But there's a fresh word for you in the room. And the fresh word is just that. You have something to give. And that something has nothing to do with you. It has nothing to do what you can, to do with what you can or cannot do. Nothing to do with the fact that you have no silver and you have no gold. And everything to do with God. Everything to do with God. And I just wonder if there are things that you have not stepped into because you think, I have nothing or I am limited. Food for thought. Peter championed this man's dream. Even though it's not spelled out in the passage, I believe that this man had a dream. I don't think that his dream was to go and sit at the front of the church and beg people as they walk through the door. I don't think that was his dream. I think that his dream was bigger than that. I think that his dream had life in it and not death. His dream, we see it in the fact that he praised God. Usually we praise God because he answered a prayer. So I'm deducing from this that this man's prayer was that one day he would walk. And what's that? It's freedom. It's breaking from chains. We all have dreams. We all have dreams that God would break something for us. That God would set us free. He would release us. He would change our situation. And I believe that was the case for this man. But Peter, of all the people that walked through the entrance of the temple, Peter and John stopped. We don't hear of any other people. Maybe there were. And if they did, we don't hear them saying what this guy said or what Peter said. Champion. To champion means to vigorously support or defend the cause of something. And that's what I believe Peter did. And I believe this morning or this afternoon, you're all like Peter. Peter is the one that champions the dream. Peter is the one that becomes the voice that echoes the dream of the one who cannot speak for themselves. You are like Peter. And so that is the fresh word to you in the room, that you have something to give and that you can champion the dream. How do we know he championed the dream? Verse 7 says, taking him by the right hand. That's what Peter did. He didn't just speak a word. He didn't just say, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, walk. He took him by the hand and he helped him up. And it says, instantly, the man's feet and ankles became strong. This speaks of partnership. You know, most times we think that everybody has their stuff all together. We think people don't need us. But people need you. This room is full of needs. Every person in here has got needs. And quite often, it's needs that somebody else in the room can meet. But we don't know that because we don't necessarily tend to involve ourselves in each other's business. So Peter championed the dream. And I wonder if you are able and willing to champion somebody else's dream. Lastly, I want to talk about setting the record straight. Human beings have a tendency to elevate other human beings. When we see something supernatural, when we see something that is out of the ordinary, sure, we praise God when we see those things. When we see a church grow, we want to go there because we're wondering, we're thinking there's something about the church. But then we take it another level, another step, where we start thinking there must be something about those people. But Peter wants to set the record straight. It says, when Peter saw this, he said to them, fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? And then he goes on to give a history lesson to explain to them about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and about Jesus Christ who was killed unfairly and how he was raised. he goes on to make a link, a connection between the man being raised, the man walking, and Jesus being glorified. Every miracle in your life is a sign that Jesus Christ has been glorified. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. Please let's stand. You know, I don't know what you've heard this morning or this afternoon. But if you're willing, I ask that you just indulge me for a moment and just close your eyes. And I want you to picture this because there's something powerful about imagination. And I want you to picture that you are walking into a place. I don't know what that looks like for you. I don't know what your imagination would say. Is it a church? Is it a school? Is it your work? Is it a train? Is it a bus? Is it a business meeting? But you're walking into a space. And you see someone. I don't know who you see. But whoever it is you see, they are lame. They are lame not just because they can't walk physically. But they're lame because they're crippled. They're incapacitated. They have limitations. There's something about them that stops them from being able to walk, to being able to live normal life. So you've walked into a space and you've seen this person. And I want you to note that you hold words of life, that you are a voice, that just like Peter, you are a voice. You are a voice that has potential to set that person free. And I want you to recognize that your limitations don't matter as you are in that space. And I want you to imagine yourself opening up your mouth and saying, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, now, you can fill in the blanks for yourself because every situation is different. As we go out today, as we go about our week, may we recognize that the fresh word for us, the fresh word is that you have something to give. You are a voice. There is power in the words that you speak.